the WaitingForNextYear.com podcast. Brian Spaeth is here. It's been a long time since we talked, man.
I know.
Why has it been? We talk. It's funny. We talk more now than we ever did when we were just like podcast friends.
That's true.
We don't podcast ever.
No. Well, one or the other of us is never seeing movies. So
that's true.
Yeah, I've seen a lot lately, though.
I've since the summertime, it's been a lull. I haven't seen hardly anything.
Have you seen anything?
Kids movies.
Oh, did you guys go see Lego Batman?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I thought it was okay.
That's how I felt.
I didn't think it was the Lego movie.
No, it didn't reach those highs at all.
But there were, and some of the funniest parts were all in the trailer, which I saw 100 times. Because
I think maybe Lego Batman is better as a supporting character.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
My son Ben is like super over the moon for Captain Underpants.
Oh, okay.
So when that comes out in June, we might see that movie 3 times.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious comes out, but we're not going to talk about that one. I want to talk about that at the end.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Cavaliers.
Okay.
So what has this season been like for you? I mean, in terms of the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs.
I've been absent for most of it. I honestly have watched. I watched opening night and I watched the Christmas Day game. And I've watched bits and pieces of other games. But it's funny because a few years ago I would get so mad at LeBron about the regular season.
Chill mode. Now
I'm chill mode on it. I get it. Like,
we did an entire episode on chill mode.
I know. And I was so angry. But it doesn't matter. The regular season doesn't matter. And I can see, especially where, like, they've played like garbage and they're still in there for the first seed in the East. It's like, where is the incentive exactly? And frankly, is anybody truly afraid of Washington or Boston? I mean, really?
No, they look frisky during the regular season, but this idea that 7 times in a row, you know, 4 times in a 7-game series that you're going to line up, you're going to plan for them, and Isaiah Thomas is going to somehow beat LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
I like some of their role players. I wish the Cavs had some of their role players.
Yeah.
But not that much.
But two things. Well, do you remember the Cavs regular season record either of the last 2 years?
No.
I don't either. I have no memory of it. And I also know that
I remember is the Warriors.
Yeah. Every LeBron regular season is filled with these lulls of like boredom, drama, dissatisfaction. It's just part of his thing.
Hell, if a coach got fired last
year. Yeah. It's just part of his thing. And as long as he's there for the playoffs, I guess it's a trade-off. I suppose if I had more time, you know, I basically have 2 kids now and a wife, and if I were still glued to the TV for every game, maybe I'd be more frustrated, but I just, not having to watch them during the regular season is kind of a gift. It's like, okay, I can use this time elsewhere. So
you don't even watch the highlights?
No. I don't even check the score most. I realize I'm missing some of the best.
This is the good stuff.
Yeah. From LeBron's rookie year through when he left, I missed probably 2 games, you know? But I don't know. I suppose I'm missing out on part of his career, but I don't, whatever. Nobody's going to talk about the regular season. All that matters when you're talking about LeBron is the championship. And, frankly, all that matters is the finals, because getting there at this point is a given. So
you don't think anybody's going to give them trouble in the East, not even Toronto?
Mm-mm.
I mean, Toronto gave them a little bit of a problem last year.
I mean, I just shrugged for those listening. I mean, it's just, here's the thing. When we have the 2 best players in every series except for Golden State. And even there, we still have the best player. I don't see anybody in the East even touching them. When Toronto gave us problems last year, it was in Toronto, and it was clearly games where we were just like, whatever. Those were not like competitive games. And as far as our bench, like when LeBron goes into playoff mode, everyone else will be brought up with him. It's just, we've seen it so many times at this point. It's been, what, 14 years? It's just, this is how it goes.
Well, and this idea that this team can't play defense is at least half effort.
Yeah, and focus. Yeah. Focus. Because I can't say LeBron has played, at least from what the little bit I've read and the tiny, tiny little bit I've watched, I don't think he's played lazy. He's not totally in chill mode. He's unfocused. But I don't think he's lacking effort, is he? I haven't watched.
No, I mean, he's definitely, he looks like he's pacing himself.
Yeah.
And he has for probably the second half of the regular season. Mm-hmm. It seems like he kind of shut part of it down, except here and there, after the All-Star break.
Okay.
And, you know, it was like the worst month he's ever had since he was a rookie. And but how many times this year has he been like player of the week, player of the month?
Right.
You know, it just, at a certain point, he does that over the course of the first half of the season. There's nobody really challenging, you know, okay, so maybe they're going to be the second seed.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, you're right. I mean, there's nothing to go.
There's no incentive.
There's no incentive.
If he cared about MVPs, I guess, but I don't think he does.
No, and honestly, I think Russell Westbrook is probably going to get the MVP this year, and that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. He's had a hell of a season.
Yeah, it just none of it matters except for the championship.
I mean, does anybody care that Steph Curry got back-to-back MVPs the last 2 years? Mm-mm. Or the previous 2 years?
No.
No.
And honestly, I mean, man, ever since we won the title, I'm just, like, satisfied. I really am. I'm like, that's great. I'm like, we did it. I saw something I never thought I would saw or see in the most amazing, dramatic way possible.
Yeah.
And it was arguably the greatest Game 7, the greatest, like, I mean, it couldn't have been better. And
it has so many superlatives.
Yeah.
It was the most, the best.
Yeah.
The first.
Yeah. The comeback, everything. So it's like, I feel like I felt a high that can't be matched also. So, and it's funny, I have a friend, my friend Dustin is a Boston fan, and he told me that after the first Red Sox World Series, when they won the next one, which it wasn't the next year, was it?
It was like 2 or 3 years later.
Yeah, but he's like, you know what, like it's nice, but it can't match that first one.
You only get one first time?
Yeah, and now we'll see when the playoffs start. I'm going to watch the playoffs. I'm like, I actually put it on my calendar, like, make sure you check the playoff schedule, especially with Easter weekend and all the stuff going on. Make sure you tape it if you're not going to be able to watch it. But yeah, I don't think there's any version of the playoffs that can match the high of last season.
It's funny too, because I admitted to my wife, and I don't really believe it, but I admitted it. I said, like, there's a tiny little part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Having been over the last year and realized what that all took, you know, the last 2 years in terms of trying to watch all those playoff games, there's a tiny little minuscule part of me that, like, would not mind if the Cavaliers got knocked out because I get my life back.
Right.
They dominate your life.
Oh, like, yeah.
The playoff schedule.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, a blogger, podcaster complaining about the playoffs. It's like the dumbest thing in the world.
Right.
And so I'm not actually, like, I smack myself. I know I'm wrong.
Would you rather go back to not being in the playoffs?
No. I mean, no, but man, you know, especially for like a dorky, regimented person like me who likes to work out every day and get to bed or reasonable.
It's exhausting. It's not as exhausting as the baseball playoffs.
No.
Because it's like every night and it goes late. But the basketball playoffs actually aren't that bad because
we 6 hours. Like,
right. And we also get these huge breaks between the first and second round, the second and third round for the Cavs typically. I mean, they were off for what, like 10 days after the first round last year?
They really were.
And like, I think a week after the second round. So.
Yeah. But, and I can't remember.
Exactly. What do you remember? Game 7.
You know,
Game 5, 6, 7.
The series that I remember most is the first year LeBron was back against Boston because Kevin Love's shoulder.
Yeah.
But the path to the finals now, all I remember is the finals.
Yeah.
I can remember a couple Toronto games maybe.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
All right, so Fast and Furious. We are going to go see the Fast and
Furious. Yeah, it looks that way.
What's your anticipation level on this one?
I don't know. I mean,
it's a really long-running series. Paul Walker's passed away.
Yeah. I feel Paul Walker. You know, 7 I was kind of down on. My order is it's 5, 6, 4, 1.
And we went to see 6 together, right?
2, 3.
We went to see 6 on opening night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 5 and 6 are on another level. Those are like the, okay. that's top of the form. My problem with 7 is I really feel that they've gone away from, I'm sick of them being in this spy genre.
Okay.
This super spy genre. These were guys that in the first movie were stealing DVD players off of semi trucks. And now they are the world's greatest spies. You know? Where it's kind of like, well, I mean, this happens with all movie series. I mean, Die Hard went from like, you know, this guy crawling around in a shaft to like super cop, you know. Rocky went from,
you
know.
No, you're right though. It's like if you and I played flag football and we maximized our abilities, mm-hmm. we'd be a really good flag football team, but we'd never make the NFL.
Right, right.
These guys went from like being petty, the best petty criminals.
Right.
To, you
know, super spies.
Ocean's
like
11.
Beyond James Bond. Like, but I'm kind of tired of the spy genre with right. this. It's kind of, cause you lose the underdog factor. You lose like kind of the lovable, like society hates us type of thing that made these characters pretty endearing to me.
Now it's Vin Diesel is a superhero.
Yeah, exactly.
And The Rock.
The Rock was like a gift to this franchise, but that's like, so 5, the reason 5 is so great is because they were still like these criminals and they were in way over their heads and The Rock was inserted and all this stuff. And then 6 was like the first super spy one. And it's like, okay, this is interesting. But 7 was just like, okay, this isn't that interesting anymore. And I really feel the loss of Paul Walker was so clear in that movie. Mm-hmm. It was where they shot around him, where they replaced him. It was really distracting for me. And I actually feel he's a pretty essential part of the equation because his dry delivery and his just Keanu-esque like aura is such a good counter to Vin Diesel because these two would never be friends in real life.
I was listening to Bill Simmons was interviewing the producer. I can't remember the guy's name.
Okay.
But he was talking about, you know, how he had worked with Paul Walker ahead of the first one, mm-hmm. and how it basically is Point Break with cars.
Oh yeah.
And he said he never considered trying to get Keanu Reeves.
Oh really?
Apparently.
Huh.
But I'm like, maybe because you couldn't get him.
Yeah.
Like, how could you never have considered?
Yeah.
How amazing would it be if he came in now?
Well, oh God, oh my God, that would be awesome. That's such a good idea.
And he would do it. Right.
I think. I don't
He's
know.
Available.
I'm sure they didn't even think about him back then because he was in the middle of the Matrix, but, which made him, one, his time was gone because God, that would be, he's the right age too. I mean, he's only 52. Vin Diesel's, I think, 49, so they could easily be contemporaries. God, that's such a good idea.
So, the other factor going in mm-hmm. is that we saw a whole bunch of the scenes and the wreckage mm-hmm. around the city of Cleveland during mm-hmm. the filming of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you at all excited about seeing Cleveland? Or, you know,
nah, I don't really care. I mean, it's doubling for New York. It's not like
I love that part.
Yeah,
because like, a bunch of people had Instagram videos of mm-hmm. those cars flying out of the
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
And now I saw it in the trailer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Got all excited.
I don't know. I wish what they had. We'll see. This one could be great, but I wish they would just almost play this like. I wish this series was almost like The Simpsons or something where it's like the status quo just never changes. But at the same time,
Bart's always like 6 years old or whatever it is.
Yeah. You almost play to the ridiculousness of the entire premise.
There are a bunch of Simpsons fans out there right now who are like, he's 8.
Right.
I don't know.
But also put them in completely different genres every time. Like, I wish this one was like, just like a race across the world. Like, you know, and the next one is like something completely different. You know what I mean? This whole spy thing is just kind of boring to me,
yeah.
But we'll see. I'm sure, look, it's going to be watchable. 7 was totally watchable. I enjoyed myself. I just thought it wasn't like great.
Well, and maybe it was kind of the ghost of Paul Walker.
It could be too.
And maybe now that they didn't have to plan around something catastrophic, mm-hmm. It'll be more cohesive.
Yeah.
Coherent and whatever else.
No, there's no doubt that 7 was damaged by his loss. Not just because he wasn't in it, but because they had to like, you know, cut it up very strangely.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're the one who taught me the value of going to mm-hmm. these movies on opening night mm-hmm. and being with the fans. It's maybe a movie that doesn't live as well on Netflix 8 months after it's been released or whatever. But on opening night amongst its most hardcore fans, this is a movie that is actually an event at the theater.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard not to get caught up with the enthusiasm of the crowd. It's a lot of fun. So,
and it'll be interesting to see how that changes at Valley View too, because now they've got the big assigned seats.
Yeah, it's less people in there.
It'll be way, way smaller crowd. And maybe in those big comfy seats, people are going to be less likely to like scream stuff and do stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm excited though. I'm excited for movies in general. This is a big year. This is, you get this and 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, it's the next Guardians of the Galaxy, which I can't wait for. You get a new Spider-Man this summer.
I'm trying really hard to figure out whether I can show my newly turned 7 year old the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Cause it's a little bit more vulgar than some of the other Marvel things.
Yeah. I think he'd be okay.
Yeah, but I really want to. I love it so much.
It's pretty cartoonish.
Of all the ones that I've seen, though, but he drops a couple words that my son doesn't know yet. And
you think he doesn't know them yet?
No, he actually doesn't.
He doesn't?
Not yet.
Okay.
I would be fine if he did.
He'll know him by next year, probably.
He will. You're right. Especially through summer camp season.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Spider-Man Homecoming, I'm excited for.
Spider-Man Homecoming, I just saw the trailer for the first time in the theater over the weekend, and actually, I was kind of like, I was ready to be underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. And it looks fun, though.
I think it looks good.
I think it's cool that they're like playing him as an actual high school kid, you know, with high school anxieties.
But he's like not just a high school kid, not a high school kid like the way Smallville played.
A 27-year-old
high school senior. He's like actually 14.
Yeah. He's like a kid.
Yeah.
So that's super cool because that's the core. That's really what the character is supposed to be.
Why did I say Smallville? I could have just said Tobey Maguire.
Or the other one.
Tobey Maguire was like 26.
Andrew Garfield was 28.
Yeah.
Also, they were both old. I mean, this kid's 19, but they're at least playing him like he's actually a high school kid.
He doesn't look 19.
He doesn't look like a man. He looks like a kid. So, but then Wonder Woman, which I'm curious about, but I hate those DC movies. So, but then Wonder Woman
looks like 300.
Yeah.
It looks like 300.
I'm really interested to see how it comes out, but I don't expect to like it. But this winter is going to be really... Did you see the trailer for the new Thor movie?
Yes.
It looks awesome.
And I didn't like the last Thor movie.
Not many people did. But this looks really...
It really wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't. This looks really fun, though.
It does. It looks... So, if some of those Marvel movies are guilty of constantly trying to go bigger, Thor lives in a world, space, Asgard, where they should. And they will, and it's going to be great. But, like, when the Avengers come back next time, they might actually be best served to go a little bit smaller.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I know
next
it's not.
Time.
But I'm...
Because the next Avengers is the culmination of everything.
You get my point.
Yeah.
In terms of the world and everything, like, you can... You lose all perspective if you take it out of... At least with Thor, it's in space. You expect it to be all over the place. Mm-hmm. But, like, the Avengers, it's got to be one city at a time almost.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have a real tough
time.
Well,
the next Avengers, you know this. It's Infinity War. It's everybody... I mean... The Guardians of the Galaxy are in it. So, like, everybody's coming. It's going to be... I'll be bawling. At the first trailer, I'll be bawling. At the movie, I'll be bawling. I know there's going to be a moment where, like, they... So, the Avengers, like, catchphrase, their big thing, their rallying cry is Avengers Assemble.
Can you move your mic? Because I think it's probably scraping all over your chest.
Oh, sorry. Where is it?
There it is.
Okay, is that better?
Probably.
Okay. Sorry.
I was, like, just visually...
Okay. So, anyway... The Avengers rallying cry is Avengers Assemble. And, like, right now the Avengers are all broken up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Tony Stark and Steve Rogers are, like, not friends. And, like, and they've teased saying it several times. And you know that there's going to be a huge moment in this movie where they say it. And every single person is there, from Star-Lord to Groot to everybody. I'll be a wreck. I can't even thinking about it. I get all, like, I get very upset. I'm very excited. So, But I wouldn't be surprised if you know how Marvel has those teasers at the end of the credits, you know? I wouldn't be surprised if this one has the Guardians of the Galaxy on their way to Earth, which will be pretty cool.
Yeah.
As a tease. So, anyway, but then the really interesting thing to me about this winter's movies are you have Justice League coming, which to me looks terrible. Have you seen the trailer for it?
No.
It looks like the natural extension of Batman vs. Superman.
Makes sense.
Yeah, grimy looking and
the real problem is that, like, if you keep making movies where people keep not being fans, how do you just keep?
I don't know.
Pushing forward.
But the interesting about that, like, if you're making a Justice League movie, like, you expect it to be a $1 billion movie. You know, you're not doing that to make like 800 million. But Thor comes out in early November. Justice League comes out 2 weeks after that. I feel Thor has better potential to be a $1 billion movie than Justice League does. But the other thing, following up on Justice League, is the next Star Wars. And if you're going to make $1 billion, like, you got to be running, you got to be playing well at the theater for like 2 months. There's no way it's going to happen with Thor in front of it and Star Wars right behind it.
And that's just, this is The Last Jedi, right?
Yeah.
Which is the kind of next installment after.
In the Skywalker saga. But yeah, so there should be a trailer for that really soon. I'll cry at that too.
Yeah. All right, well, it's always fun to catch up. It's been too long.
Yeah, I know. So maybe we can do a Fast and Furious podcast or something.
We'll do a quick recap.
Okay.
Something.
All right. I've actually seen a lot of movies lately, so.
Cool. I need to get to a lot more. I still haven't seen Logan, so.
That's good.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. WaitingForNextYear.com podcast.
Goodbye.
Hip Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.